from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Here's verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. This is the text. You may be seated. And so bear with me while I show some very fake sympathy for the chief priests and those in that meeting. What a mess! Now think about it. What a mess. A missing body, soldiers with a wild story of an angel rolling away a stone, and now there's the possibility that those disciples of Jesus are going to go running around saying he's risen. What a mess. You want to know what makes it worse? What makes it worse is what they had done, the chief priests and the Pharisees, what they had done before. They wanted to make sure that this didn't happen, so they had called in the civil authorities, going to Pilate, asking for a guard and for an official seal to be put on the tomb. And you know what the seal is for? The seal is so that if the seal is broken, all of the legal and military might of the Roman Empire will chase down whoever did it and put them to a miserable end, probably them and their families. And so if the seal's broken, Pilate is supposed to start asking questions. What a mess! Got to cover it up. Just absolutely cover it up before it gets out of hand and blows wide open. Not only that, got to cover it up in a way that the governor will not start asking questions. What to do? And you see, that's how it starts. That's how the lie brews. And so it's time to put out the lie, and here's the story. The guards for whom it was death sentence if you fall asleep on your watch. How to get the guards to go and tell everybody that they can that they fell asleep on their watch, and while they were sleeping, the disciples who fishermen and a tax collector and a few other odds and ends who first chance to stand up for Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, they turned tail and ran. How badly did they run? Well, they ran so badly that one of the soldiers was left holding clothes as somebody, not quite a disciple, but one of the followers, went streaking away stark naked out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, go tell the story that you fell asleep on your watch, which is a capital offense, and that these hiding anywhere they can find to hide disciples suddenly decided to get brave and came and somehow they rolled back the stone without making enough noise to wake you. And tiptoed inside the tomb and very carefully removed the dead body of Jesus. Go tell that story. It's going to cost something, isn't it? A sufficient sum of money. How much is a sufficient sum of money? And you better have the next sufficient sum of money ready right there at hand if Pilate starts asking questions. Just don't pretend like nothing happened here, Pilate. Pretend. And so, money to the soldiers, check. Be prepared to answer questions from Pilate and bribe him to check. Once the story gets going, jump all over it and make sure it spreads all over. Check. And then someone went and told the Christians. You want to hear the real title for the sermon this morning? In the bulletin it says, and then someone told the Christians. Here's the full title. So they made up a lie. It wasn't very good. It wasn't very believable, but they needed a lie, and they needed it quick, and then someone told the Christians, and they wrote it down in their book. And having written it down in their book, if the officials wanted to expose the lie, what could they do? Oh, they could find out where the body was hidden. Go find it, trot it out. They didn't do that. You know why they didn't do that? Because there was no dead body of Jesus to be found. Second thing they could do, track down the Christians and start interrogating and torturing and putting to death until they admitted that it was a lie. How did that work? All of the disciples except for John died martyrs' deaths. And while any modern cover-up, you're going to find somebody who is willing to spill the beans, let the cat out of the bag, say what was said behind closed doors, and you can't keep secrets very long, and it may not be torture, it may just be a sufficient sum of money, and they'll tell you everything about it if you give them a percentage of the proceeds of the book that you're going to write. And there it is, all out in the open. There are sufficient modern examples of that, but the disciples, to a man, held that this story of Jesus rising from the dead was true. And they backed it up with their suffering and with their deaths. Easter and the empty tomb is where we welcome all those questions about Christianity. It's where we welcome them, because Easter and the empty tomb are the place where we start. It's the place where the truth of our Christian faith begins. It is the spot where we talk about truth and not about feelings, not about opinions. Feelings change, opinions come and go. Ideas are popular and then they are out of the popularity and completely forgotten about. The one thing that doesn't change is who Jesus is and what he does. We're talking about truth. Not about how it makes us feel in our hearts, because how you feel in your heart about Jesus had better come out of the truth about who Jesus is, not the other way around. I grew up in the 60s. You know what opinions were about Jesus in the 1960s? Superstar, radical, counterculture, revolutionary. He was a Marxist. He was a mystic. He was an ascetic. He was an unfortunate that got propelled into the role and didn't really want to be called the Son of God. Wild opinions. But the message of the gospel, the message of who he is, has remained constant through the ages. Opinions about Jesus in the time after the New Testament was written, they were just about as wild as the 1960s. Opinions about who Jesus was during his earthly ministry, some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah or one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's not our opinions, it's not our ideas, it's not what we say about Jesus, it is who he is. Easter is not what the guards were paid to say. Easter is not what the women coming to the tomb thought was going on. They were looking for a dead body. Or Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus, standing there and talking with Jesus and expressing to Jesus their disappointment in Jesus because they thought Jesus was going to be a savior, but now he was dead. They say it to Jesus as he walks with them. Or the disciples in the upper room hiding in fear. Easter is about Jesus and who he actually is. It is about truth. A truth that changes everything. A truth that changes everything about the world and about our lives. Easter is also a message of hope. A message of love. A message of forgiveness. And when those two things come together, truth and a message of God's love in Jesus Christ, then everything is changed. Everything about life, everything about eternity. And it all begins with the resurrection of Jesus, and that's where we find truth and where we find peace for the soul. Realize, peace for the soul comes from outside a tomb in Palestine where soldiers shook in fear and women wept because they could not find a dead body. That's where the truth that brings peace comes from. And it comes from an upper room in Jerusalem where disciples were hiding in fear because they'd seen Jesus put to death and they were convinced that they were the next to be hunted down. Because the truth is a message joined to a person. It's a message of God's relationship with us that is joined to the person of Jesus Christ. So the truth is actually Jesus, who has put away the wrath of God. And the truth is Jesus, who has broken down the wall separating us from God. And the truth is Jesus, who is our Lamb of God, who has come to take away our sin, who came to bear our sin and suffer in our place. That's where the truth had to start, there in the person of Jesus, where God's heart turns toward you in love and where God makes you his own. The message is tied to a person. So it is a truth that can bring peace so long as that person is there to bring and to give peace. The message is tied to a person, so it is a truth that brings peace in the words, "For God so loved the world." Oh, you can recite this with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And the message is tied to a person, the person who called us into a relationship with God, who tells us that he loves us. And out of that relationship, the whole world opens up and all of eternity opens up. And the message is this. The message comes from the cross. It is finished. And all of sin and all of the punishment is done away with. It is drained away by Jesus. And the message is this. It comes through the angels on Easter morning. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. This is not myth or rumor. But realize that the truth being the resurrection of Jesus and the forgiveness that we have in him, that truth changes what truth is. Because without the truth of Jesus rising from the dead, what would truth be? Without that truth, truth would be the commandments of the Old Testament and the demand from God that you must live a holy and perfect life if you are to be worthy of eternal life. And without fulfilling the commandments, you are judged and doomed and damned. That would be the truth. Without the truth of Jesus rising from the dead, what would be the truth? The truth would be these bodies beginning to break down as we go on in years. The truth would be death staring us in the face and the limit of our lives. That would be the truth. But you see, in Jesus rising from the dead, he comes to be the truth. So that as long as Jesus lives, the truth bound up in the person of Jesus is life and salvation and forgiveness and hope, the raising of these bodies. With Jesus, the truth is that one day I will see him. One day these eyes will see the face of Jesus Christ and these hands be able to reach out and touch him. See, this is not myth or rumor. This is truth. But still, the bare historical truth of Jesus rising from the dead, that in itself is not a good enough reason to be a Christian. We call that historical truth. The truth is a message joined to a person, so that the truth is God's relationship with us in Jesus Christ. Again, the truth is Jesus who has put away the wrath of God. The truth is Jesus who is our Lamb of God who has carried us out of death and into life. The truth is a message joined to a person who stands that evening in the upper room among the disciples and says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. As he will do with us one day. And we will see him, and we will reach out and touch, and we will know the truth and know peace. And not just as an idea in our minds, and not just as a feeling in our souls, not just as a truth that we are convinced of, we will know the truth with our hands. And we will know the truth with our eyes. Why? Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.